615-737-1045 is how you get involved in the conversation. 615-737-1045 is how you chime in on the topics of discussion today. We've talked a lot about Texas and Oklahoma. Texas and Oklahoma's interest in joining the SEC. There is one major driver of all of this, and we'll get into this with Chris Childers coming up next of SiriusXM Satellite Radio. Something that I think really has, what's the word that I'm looking for? The catalyst that has served for this latest move. Because back in December, there was a deal between the SEC and ESPN, a 10-year contract extension for college football and basketball that starts in 2024. Now, this was reported on by Alex Scarborough, and ESPN, the SEC, they got together. They said, all right, we like the way that this has gone from a business standpoint, even as the numbers for things like the college football playoff and really college basketball have not been worth a damn. Certainly not worth the paper that they're written on, but live sports rights trumps all in this media business. So they decided to push this extension through for another 10 years. Now, what it provides the network on the part of the institutions, including ABC, is 15 premier football games, the SEC championship, rivalry games like the Iron Bowl, Florida and Georgia. Things that all college football fans, particularly the most rabid part of the country when it comes to college football, right here in the Southeast, things that we all gravitate towards. The premier products that college sports has to offer. So the figures on this were not necessarily as forthcoming because, of course, ESPN reporting on its own news is something that often comes up. We'll get into that conversation here in just a second, but I do think that people have seemed to gravitate. And by the way, Joe Hunk is here with us for the final hour. Good morning, Hunk.
How's it going, man?
It's going. We're getting through it. I'm a little disoriented. I'm not sure how I feel about the solo radio from home, but we had to try it once so we could get some work done around the house today. But we've been talking, Hunk, a lot about the Titans and how close they are to Super Bowl, to ending their Super Bowl drought. I know we have some callers on this matter. 615-737-1045 before we jump back into the SEC conversation. Let's go to Landon, who is first up on in this final hour on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Landon?
Hey, Buck. How y'all doing?
Man, we're doing great.
I got a question. I didn't hear a lot of talk about how the Pro Bowl got canceled last year. I was very excited to watch it and had three or four Titans players in it. How many people do you think would be in it for 2022?
Well, Landon, let me ask you a question. Do you actually enjoy the Pro Bowl?
I like watching the shenanigans that go along with it, and just actually people getting recognized for their greatness. And a lot of Titans players made it last year that normally don't get to make it.
Well, you are among the few, and I appreciate the call. 615-737-1045. You know, I largely hate the Pro Bowl.
Amen.
The Pro Bowl is a big waste of time. I think, you know, I've never actually been to the Pro Bowl. I hear it's a lot of fun if you're going down and covering it, but like to watch it as a television product, I don't necessarily know, because it's not like they're being rewarded. Here's where we differ on this, Landon. The Pro Bowl is not a reward for accolades and accomplishments. Yes, that is one route to the Pro Bowl, and sometimes players earn it on their own merit, but a lot of times it's just the most famous players because it's a fan vote. Fan voting triumphs when it comes to, well, it's not the only way that guys get elected to the Pro Bowl, but the fan voting is a big portion of how these dudes end up there. Taylor Lewan is a three-time Pro Bowler, one because he is exceptional at what he does. But Taylor Lewan is also a three-time Pro Bowler in his career because Taylor Lewan is one of the few left tackles in football that you can name right now. And this was before Barstool. I imagine that Barstool is going to help his Pro Bowl voting quite a bit. I mean, going back and looking at guys who made the Pro Bowl last year, Derrick Henry, of course, for the second straight season, A.J. Brown made it as well. But, you know, if we were to discuss Pro Bowlers based on accolades, Ryan Tannehill had accounted for 40 touchdowns last year. Ryan Tannehill was an alternate for the Pro Bowl had he ended up accepting the invitation, but there was no Pro Bowl to be had, so it didn't matter, right? I guess if you're asking me about, because he said 2022, I assume he means for the 2021-2022 season. I think that who are the most famous Titans, right? It's probably going to be Derrick Henry. It's probably going to be it's probably going to be Julio Jones. It's probably going to be AJ Brown and probably Taylor Lewan if they make it through healthy. And, you know, there are no, there in the case of Taylor Lewan, which disqualified him from qualifying for four straight Pro Bowls, PEDs suspensions. Hopefully none of that stuff comes to pass. It's not necessarily about who is the greatest among them, although that does help, but it's just about the most famous players on a team and if they can be more famous than the other players in their position.
Let me ask you a question.
Taylor Lewan at left tackle than it is for somebody like, you know, A.J. Brown at the wide receiver position. And Derrick Henry is becoming a household name for certain.
The Tampa Bay Bucs and Kansas City Chiefs obviously played in the Super Bowl last year. If they get voted to the Pro Bowl but are playing in the Super Bowl, do they still get that little notch beside their Wikipedia page that they were a Pro Bowler, or does it count at all for them? Do they get disqualified since they're playing in the Super Bowl?
No, I mean, it counts for them. It goes on their Pro Football Reference page. They are technically considered Pro Bowl selections. They just don't participate in the event. That's how we start with the alternates and how Andy Dalton ends up in a Pro Bowl.
True.
A couple of years ago with the Cincinnati Bengals.
And so my other question is I know in the NHL, there's like a $1 million purse for the championship team. Is there anything like that in the Pro Bowl?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the winning team, you know, I think Delaney Walker was a Pro Bowl MVP a couple of years ago. I'm pretty sure he got a car out of it, if I remember correctly. But yeah, there's financial incentives to get these guys to show up and participate. Now, participate is a loose term because the game itself is not competitive, is what I would say, even though these guys are competitors at the highest level. Yeah, there's financial incentives. I don't have the numbers in front of me off the top of my head, Hunk. But yeah, you can catch a couple touchdowns in a Pro Bowl game and go home with a car. And then if it's not a nice enough car, because Delaney Walker's got a hell of a lot nicer cars at home, then you don't have to take the car. You can give it to somebody else, like Tom Brady did with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago for that goal line interception of Russell Wilson.
Makes them look really good when in essence, they're like, yeah, I got a lot better cars in the parking lot that I live in. So just kind of take this off my hands. It's kind of the way it is.
What am I going to do with this pickup truck when I've got a custom Ford Raptor Ford Raptor at home? Like it's just not. It's just
one of the Black Ops ones.
It's more to satisfy the sponsors, because then you get the picture with the athlete next to the sponsor than it is, you know, an actual reward for the players. Maybe they got kids coming up and maybe that's the kid's new car. Who knows? 615-737-1045 is how you get in on the conversation. But before we diverted into Pro Bowl talk, we were talking about the SEC, Oklahoma and Texas, two teams that are trying to get out of the Big 12 and join the biggest and the baddest in college football. We'll get into this with Chris Childers coming up next, and you'll hear from Greg Sankey. In fact, Hunk, do you have that available to you, Greg Sankey on 3HL yesterday?
Yes. I will have that available for you when we come back.
Okay. We will have that when we come back before we speak with Chris Childers. But Greg Sankey got punked at his own event. Greg Sankey had a gotcha moment in the middle of his media days, his conference's media days, for no other reason than somebody, whether it's one of his conference affiliates, for lack of a better term, whether the stated disinterest in Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference by Texas A&M or Arkansas, people who have interest in, for recruiting purposes and not seeing these two teams join the conference, somebody leaked it in the middle of SEC media days for a reason. So when Greg Sankey was on 3HL yesterday, it's not like he sounded flustered, but I do think that he was not quite prepared for having that all blow up in his face on Radio Row.
I'm here to talk about the 2021 season. Don't talk about anonymous sources. And excited that we're here, that we have people, we're going to play football and want us to overcome COVID and be great going forward.
No comment from the commissioner of the SEC. That was on 3HL. If you want to hear their full interview with the SEC commissioner, you can check out 3HL's podcast, which, of course, Joe Hunk is a great part of. Why I find this funny, though, is because of a of a graphic that was put together by the SEC Network this morning on the heels of the news that Texas and Oklahoma would be interested in joining up. The SEC this morning, the television program that started before SEC Media Days, the final day, got underway, put out a proposal, because why not lean into to your own news, since the news is about you, because there's television dollars at the center of all of this. They put together a proposal for the potential alignment if Oklahoma and Texas join the conference. Four-team pods. Pod A, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina. Pod B, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vandy. Pod C, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and A&M. Pod D, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. A 9-game conference schedule format where you would play the other three teams in your pod every season. You would play 2 games against each of the other pods and host every team at least once every 4 seasons. So the commissioner's not commenting, but his television network is. This news is real. This news is inevitable. And we'll get into it with Chris Childers of SiriusXM Radio. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Rising Show, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review, leave us 5 stars, and we'll be very happy with you. We're always happy with you, but we would appreciate that more than anything else. We'll see if we can't track down Chris Childers of SiriusXM and get him in on this college football conference realignment conversation. But fortunately, there's plenty of information at our disposal to be able to get you through and answer these big questions, or the biggest questions that we all have about this thing. I mean, there's nothing that I love more than this kind of news breaking in the middle of an SEC Media Days. Because the last time conference realignment happened, oh man, I would have been a freshman in college when Nebraska moved to the Big Ten and you saw Missouri and Texas A&M end up in the SEC. Now, at the time, there was also discussions about Oklahoma and Texas way back when. We're nearly a decade removed from that time. But everything that comes along with conference realignment is college football. It's such a it's a filthy sport, which is why it makes me so happy. Because you've got leaks, you've got rumors, there's politics, there's backstabbing. Everything that you love about a story like this. And then there is nothing that provides a higher level of just frankly sheer entertainment value. But it's been a while since we've gone through something like this. And I bet most people are curious as to why now. Why is this news happening now? Why are Texas and Oklahoma considering making such a substantial move? Because, this would completely detonate the landscape of college football. You would see... there's already no level of competition between the SEC and the other four of the Power Five conferences. NIL really wasn't going to give them that much of a boost, although there is profit to be found in more ways than one by name, image, and likeness legislation coming into play. But ultimately, you see something that is going to completely and totally revitalize these two universities. Now, you would say, well, what do you mean revitalize? Because Oklahoma finds itself in the college football playoff every other year. Texas, we continue to have this conversation about whether they are in fact back or not, as we do with Tennessee, as we do with Miami. It is a never-ending just waterfall of content that comes from a program like this university. But what I think most people look at this and say is, you know, how does this benefit the SEC? Like, what does this do to boost the profile of a conference that already sits atop all of the other conferences? The SEC does not need, at least I feel like this is most people's opinion, the SEC does not need Texas and Oklahoma. But I would say that there is nothing bad that would come from adding two incredible college football powerhouses, not just from a standpoint on the field, not just in the sports of college football, by the way, because they do have revenue sports, baseball, basketball, that would help the competitiveness, help the intrigue, and frankly, more than anything, help the television dollars as it relates to the SEC. Danny, cousin Danny in the Borough on YouTube writes in, LOL, Bo Pelini, talking about the last time that Bo Pelini was the coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers when they were making their way into the Big Ten, and what a disaster that's been. Chris Childers of SiriusXM will join us here in just a second, and we will get into the details of that. But conference realignment, I mean, it does shake things up. If you are a college football traditionalist, it does rankle you a little bit. You've already had substantial change through the name, image, and likeness legislation. If you're a college football fan, if you're an SEC fan, you probably look at this and say, there's nothing that I want less than something that's going to further the change that my sport is already undergoing. We talked about this earlier in the show. The changes that name, image, and likeness are making, the changes that conference realignment will make, these were inevitabilities. Don Davenport said as much earlier in the show, and I'm certain that Chris Childers of SiriusXM, he's the host of Full Ride on ESPNU Radio, the SEC Today. He's all over the place, a native son, a Blue Raider alum. Chris Childers joins us now on 104.5 The Zone. What's going on, Chris? We appreciate you taking some time.
So, Buck, I'm going to let you know that Chris is actually in the middle of a restaurant right now, and he has told us to call him back here in just a second. I called him, and he goes, "Is that today?
Is that today?
Is that yes, today? Chris, that is today." I said, "Yes, Chris." He goes, "Oh, well, can I just get my food and you just call me back in like 5 minutes?" I said,
"I think that's completely reasonable.
No problem. No problem at all. I'll let Buck know and we'll give you a holler back in like 5 minutes or so." So
I saw Hunk rapidly texting me. And see, here I thought I had done such a good job at introducing Chris Childers, but he'll join us in about 5 minutes. Is that today? You know, I can't even make fun of anybody for that, Hunk. I was an hour late to an appointment yesterday. I was sitting at home. I was not doing anything substantive whatsoever. I got a text saying, "Hey, you still planning on?" I was getting a suit made. I'm getting a custom suit made from a guy who does my suits. And I completely blanked on an appointment. Completely lost track of time. Now, Joe Hunk is somebody who is critical of my fashion sense, so perhaps he would frown upon me getting any more clothing made for myself anyway. But yeah, just completely sitting on my couch, looking at my phone like, oh my God, I'm an hour and a half late to this appointment.
Look, and when it comes to the fashion, I've got fashion, you've got fashion. It's just different fashion. So you can make fun of my mohawk, I make fun of your short shorts, and that is what the relationship is built on. So it's okay. We both have fashion. It's just different.
These are really short shorts today.
Look,
I got them at home. This would
okay.
Be not
I do need to know
content.
Though. The suits you're getting made, are you gonna be able to see your ankles whenever the suit is on?
Hell yes.
I knew it.
Hell, I mean, what else am I supposed to do? Am I look like a slob with the pants that come down all the way to my shoes? Of course not.
Well, I'm just saying that the fashion now is that you can see the ankles. And so I'm taking it. You got the loafers to go with it so that they match the pants. Look, I'm not bashing this one. The suit style's actually on game. It's the short shorts and the shirt that looks like it's a couch. Other than that, the rest is good.
The shirt that looks like it's a couch.
It does.
I don't know what that means.
It was. I think it was like a brown one, and brown and black one that you wore 2 years ago, or 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago. It was literally like it looked like it came off a 70s couch, like something that Married with Children had in the background or something. That's the way it looked. But other than that, we're on point. We both like style just in different ways. It's okay.
Yeah. I know. I respect the difference in opinion. 615-737. 104.5 is how you get involved until Chris Childers is finished with his lunch and we can continue the conversation about college football expansion, conference realignment, to be specific. Buck suits have short shorts attached, says Doc Scurlock 83 on YouTube. Cousin Danny in the Borough says, do they make suits that go with Birkenstocks? Man, I haven't worn Birkenstocks in probably 4 years. I had a whole phase of training camp. I think it was like the second training camp that I covered for the Titans. The only shoes that I would wear out there were Birkenstocks, and then I was terrified that I got skin cancer and like only three parts of my feet that were showing through the Birkenstocks. So that was immediately sent away. Those No more Birkenstocks for the foreseeable future.
By the way, the fact that the answer was 4 years just made a lot of 104.5 listeners just laugh, because they were probably expecting you to say 10 to 15 to 20 years, and you go, I haven't worn those in four. Like, okay, all right.
I mean, Birkenstocks are making a resurgence. This is
for females.
My fashion sense does not discriminate. It has no gender. We are largely gender neutral in this house. 615-737-1045. So back to conference realignment. Before Chris Childers jumps in on this conversation and saves us from ourselves. Inevitability is the word that I would use. It's the word that Dawn Davenport used. She said yesterday on 3HL, and she reiterated this point earlier in the show when she joined us in the 10 o'clock hour. This is a 95% chance of happening. And I was shocked, frankly, by how high a percentage she put on it. Now, Dawn Davenport, when she's not being the third part or one of three parts on 3HL, she is, of course, an SEC Network sideline reporter. Dawn knows and understands the media landscape relating to conference realignment, the television deals. She understands better than any of us ever could, because she's been on the inside of this thing. And of course, she talks to people who she works with at the SEC Network. A 95% chance. And that was when the news first broke. That was before more information came out that Texas and Oklahoma intend to inform the Big 12 that they plan to leave the SEC. Now, intent is different than actually doing it. So we'll work through the nuances of this conversation with Chris Childers of SiriusXM right now. Buddy, I hope your lunch went well. I hope you're doing well. Thanks for taking some time.
Doing fantastic, man. How are you?
We're just trying to get a handle on what the hell is happening in college football. Now, Dawn Davenport, who hosts 3HL, who is an SEC Network sideline reporter, says she gives this a 95% chance of happening when the news broke yesterday as they were interviewing the commissioner of the league. Do you think that is too high of a number? Do you think this is an inevitability at this point?
No, I think it's going to happen. I think it is. I think it's inevitable that it's going to happen. I mean, look, when we have a situation yesterday where Oklahoma is saying nothing, Texas is saying nothing, they're just saying they're not going to address any random rumors. When Greg Sankey specifically says that I'm only here to talk about the 2021 season, you bet your butt something's going on. Now, I know A&M is adamant to fighting it, right? Ross Bjork wants nothing to do with this. They are so happy. A&M has broke through, or at least they're close to breaking through the glass ceiling as a part of the SEC. I know many people that look at the roster they've assembled and say this team is capable of winning a national championship in the next 2-3 years. If you add Texas, there's this fear that all of a sudden you go back to what you used to be, which was their little brother in the Big 12. That is the biggest problem right now. And Texas A&M, I know, is probably Ross Bjork and their president there. Ross is the AD, is probably calling everybody under the sun, trying to convince them to vote no. 11 votes are needed for them to be added. I don't think they have a chance to get their way. I think it's going to happen. So buckle up. I think Texas and Oklahoma are coming to the league.
Man, that is – so what does that mean for the landscape of college football, Chris? Because I think college football is filled with so many traditionalists that any time change occurs, whether it's name, image, and likeness or conference realignment, people's initial reaction is just to turn their nose up at it and say, you know, the SEC doesn't need these two teams, even as they're the most powerful teams in their own conference and would be two of the biggest brand names alongside many proud and great brand names in the SEC already. What does this do to the landscape of the sport, though?
Well, people with that thought are not paying attention to what's going on.
Yep.
Because college football is completely changing. I mean, all you had to do was look at the summertime. I was joking earlier today on my show on SiriusXM that, you know, typically in the summer leading up to media days, we're essentially like a preseason, you know, magazine on the radio. You know, talking about quarterback battles and position battles and who, you know, schedules and all that kind of stuff. We haven't done any of that. Name, image, and likeness came, the transfer portal without having to sit came, the 12-team playoff proposal is real. I mean, we are in an era of change. I think pay-per-play is coming fast. I think the Supreme Court's 9-0 decision against the NCAA is what's causing this. I think if you're thinking the NCAA doesn't need to add them, you're not paying attention. The complete model of the way we've done business is dead. Anything we've ever known about college football is dead. That's gone. And I'm telling you right now, pay for play is coming. So you've got to position yourself in the best position to be one of these superpowers. And I think the SEC sees the writing on the wall. They see the fact the NCAA is dying a painful and fast death. They have, Greg Sankey said it a couple days ago, the rule book essentially means nothing. It doesn't have the same sort of merit and weight that it used to. So look, we're changing. You've got to adapt and adopt. And right now, from a financial standpoint, the SEC is adding the two best brands you possibly can add. For people that don't realize this, there is not a athletic department in the country that brings in more revenue than Texas. Even with their football program being average the last decade, there is nobody that brings in more money than Texas. And Oklahoma has essentially been carrying the flag for the Big 12 for the last 6 years. They're going for their seventh consecutive league championship in 2021. They add a lot of cachet, and with that is going to add more money. And as the college football continues to evolve, what you're going to see here is, now that this happens, you're going to see a restructuring. You're going to see, I think we're going to autonomy. I think we're going to power, a power form of college football. We might even get to the NFL, where it's 32 teams and we kind of divide it up into divisions. I think we are heading down that path. This is what this is. That's exactly what you are seeing right now. I think you're going to see similar things. I wouldn't be shocked if USC says they're going to be an independent. The Pac-12 has nothing to offer them, and right now you are positioning yourself for the future. You are positioning yourself for the playoff. You are positioning yourself for the chance to make the most money, and that's what this is. The Big 12 has given Texas and Oklahoma nothing. I think the SEC understands what those brands can mean, and knowing where we're going from a restructuring standpoint, this to me is a no-brainer. Shocking still that it kind of came out of nowhere, but when you think about it, and see where college football is going and read between the tea leaves, it makes a lot of sense.
God, it is so refreshing to have somebody with an actually nuanced opinion. I know that you're not alone in this. Chris Childers of SiriusXM, he's the host of Full Ride on ESPNU Radio. You can check him out on the SEC Today as well. It's so refreshing to hear somebody who's taking that approach, Chris, because, you know, I mean, and I'm sure you experienced this on your SiriusXM shows as well. The pushback to me has just been nonsensical. I look at this and think there's just a lack of, I don't want to say a lack of education about the landscape of the sport and the sport that everybody seems to love and be so passionate about, but it just feels like people don't understand why these things are happening. Why do you think there's such a disconnect, or do you think there's that kind of disconnect that I'm describing and that I've experienced, at least on a local level? Why do you think that disconnect is occurring between the fan bases and the sport itself?
Well, a lot of fans are stupid. I'll just be completely honest and transparent in saying that. They just don't kind of understand. They live in their own little world and bubbles and think their program is the end-all be-all and just don't get all the nuances of it. This is massive business, and we are changing. And I think the biggest thing that has changed is what happened a couple weeks ago in the United States Supreme Court. I could not put too much value on that. The amateurism model is dead. We are going away from everything that we've known. So now you're adjusting and adapting. Greg Sankey is seeing the future. People that are all against this are not paying attention to what is going on. Everything that you've known about college football is dead. The summer happened. Name, image, and likeness happened. The transfer portal happened. This is all different. We're going to have a playoff that's going to be 12 teams. That's inevitable. So Greg Sankey rules college football. Let's not get it confused. And thank God that he does, because where would we be without him? We probably wouldn't have had a season a year ago without Greg Sankey's leadership, period. And you know, I mean, we were going down the domino effect of the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and everybody was canceling. The fact of the matter is, this is a business. There is money to be made here. And from a competitive standpoint, as things are shifting and super conferences are inevitable, and the have-nots will be left behind. And I think you're going to see which is why they're having a conference call later today. Texas Tech is panicked. Kansas is panicked. Iowa State is panicked. Oklahoma State is panicked. They can get left behind. As we switch to the halves of college football, the Vanderbilts of the world, I think, will be okay just because of the league that they're in. But, like, Kansas is in a similar position. They could be in harm's way because I'm not sure what they bring from a value standpoint outside of basketball, and maybe that's enough. But we're going to be re-jockeying here, and this is a direct result of the changes. That's what people need to understand. You need to go back and understand – the reason you're getting pushback is because people have lived their lives their entire life, or however many years they've been on the earth, right? So I'm 39. Right. So I've got 39 years of thinking about college football one specific way. I'm telling you, that way is changing. And if you think pay-for-play isn't coming, you're not. So, and this again, the Supreme Court 9-0 saying amateurism is anti-American, that's over. So this is an adjustment. This is a refocusing. This is the future of college football. And again, if you're fighting this, you need to put every notion you've had to the side and have an open mind and understand that this is coming, but don't fight it. Because at the end of the day, you know what we're going to get out of this? Here's the great thing about it, guys. Alabama playing Presbyterian week two of the college football season goes away.
Thank
you understand
God.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Goes away. We are going to have nothing but good on good. Think about Texas and Oklahoma inside this league. The sport of college football is going to become enhanced. Think about how, as great as our sport is, going to college campus, the bands, the fans in the stands, everything about the environment is phenomenal. But the way our sport is structured is stupid. And I think a lot of it is because it's been anti-American. I mean, we've had dumb BCS structures and a 14 playoff that – you know, favors five programs in the country, and we just do things in a dumb way. If we actually did things in a way that was normal and made sense, the game might actually thrive in a way we haven't seen before because we actually get good-on-good product every single week, and it's not necessarily about being undefeated at the end of the year. It's about beating quality teams. And don't you think that leaves us in a better world for college football? Because I think so.
Oh, without question. It's so long overdue. Chris Childers at Childers Radio is where you can follow him. Of course, you can hear him on Sirius XM, the host of Full Ride. Check him out on the SEC Today as well. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time and making us a little bit smarter.
You got it, man. Thank you.
I love that. I love that perspective so much. We have breaking news in the NFL as well, by the way. So we'll react to what Childers said. We'll tell you what's going on in the league. Then Joe Hunk will do some polls. We appreciate your guys' interaction as always. Everything that you do to keep this show on the road or on the rails, rather. Now, speaking of something that's coming off the rails, the NFL has just put out a major announcement, and Hunk is going to get us that audio here in just a second. So, per Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, the NFL just informed clubs that if a game cannot be rescheduled — tell me if this sounds familiar from SEC media days — if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season in 2021 due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and be credited with a loss for playoff seeding, per sources. Massive implications just laid down the law by the NFL. They said, get your asses vaxxed or it's going to cost you. Now, Mike Garofolo just went on the NFL Network as we were talking about this during the commercial break. This is the context that he had to add, Hunk, if you'll give me that audio.
Both teams, if the game's not played, it's not just the team that caused the outbreak. Both teams would not be paid their Paragraph 5 salary, their base salary, that installment for that game. So even if it's the team, I mean, you remember teams were upset last year. Hey, it's their problem, and we're rescheduling this game, and we're moving this game around, and it's inconveniencing us. Yeah, well, on top of that, you're not going to get paid
right
if it's the other team that creates the mess. And by the way, still in this memo, if the other team is not following protocols, remember we had some of that last year, that Commissioner Roger Goodell still retains the right, in addition to canceling the game, the forfeit. There could still be penalties in the form of fines, draft picks, whatever, on top of that. So these games could be moved now. That's in the memo as well. Like, you could have a Thursday game move to a Tuesday or whatever. Remember, we had that last year as well, as they tried to keep it within the week that these games were going to be played. But once you get outside of that, the long and short of this is that the NFL in this memo is stating that they are intending to play the entire regular season over 18 weeks. And there will not be a 19th week. So if you get outside of that week, and hey, we couldn't make it work and we couldn't reschedule it, that game is forfeited. The team that had the issue, they lost. The other team, they win. It counts towards the playoffs, all that stuff. That is the long and short of this memo. But there still could be games that are kind of slid around. They will take into consideration many things as far as whether it's safe to allow that game to be played. Stadium availability will factor into that as well, as will competitive advantage, disadvantage, because you could have a team, let's say you push that game back to a Monday or a Tuesday, and then the other team's got a short turnaround or whatnot. So these are all be factors that'll be factored in, just like they were last year as the NFL tried to figure this thing out on the fly. But they are letting teams, players, executives, everybody know today that we are not planning to add a week to the season to accommodate for games that won't be able to be played and rescheduled within the same week.
Let me make this a lot simpler. If you're unvaccinated and you cause an outbreak, we're taking your games, we're taking your playoff seating, we're taking your paycheck. The NFL is about to force a hell of a lot of players' hands. Let's do some polls, Hunk.
Ooh. Oh, Nelly, this is Keith Jackson talking about college football. It's time to stop the count. The polls have closed and the granddaddy of them all has been tallied. With your poll update, Ford Nelly, talking about Buck Rising show producer and daily correspondent, Lucas Panzeca.
Except it's Joe Hunt. Go ahead, buddy.
All right, I do have a question for you. Have you ever ran a poll so far on the Buck Rising show that has ended in a 50-50 tie?
In fact, we have.
Okay, so then the fact that your very first poll question is currently at 50.3 and 49.7 should not surprise you. Would you want Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC? Almost 400 votes, and we are at almost a dead tie so far.
Chris Childers told you, get with it or get out of the way. College football, as you know it, is dead. I understand why that would be divisive among some of you, but it doesn't matter. It's happening anyway. The case has already been made. This move is inevitable. Conference realignment is inevitable. Pay for play is inevitable. This summer has changed everything that you know about college football. You're just going to have to eat it.
So basically it's Thanos is what you're trying to say, is it is inevitable.
We're missing everything but the what do they call them? Not the gemstone.
The infinity stone. The one infinity stone we're still looking for is that's the last one. Now, did Mike Leach make you Google the definition of coup d'etat? I did pronounce that right, didn't I?
You did.
All right, there we go. All right, your options were yes, no, and bless this man. No is actually winning with 50.6, and bless this man is at 37.6.
Perhaps I have underestimated the audience. I thought surely that would be less than 40% or less than 50% did not know what coup d'etat was prior to Mike Leach saying that about the University of Tennessee, which warms my heart, and I wish very much that he had been their coach.
I think
for
some
comedic
people
purposes
are lying.
Only.
I think some people are lying. Which AFC team is closest to breaking their Super Bowl drought? Your options are the Titans, the Browns, the Chargers, and the Bills. And to no surprise, the Titans are at a 65.5% winning as we speak right now. Chargers, 1.4%.
Bunch of homers. The correct answer is the Bills.
Bills are in second place at 25.5.
Listen, I love you all. Be realistic. The Bills are a hell of a lot closer to the Super Bowl than the Titans are.
All right, next question. What is the most keeping the Titans from a Super Bowl? Is it defense, a kicker, or coaching? And 80% of the vote goes towards defense.
I think it might be a gosh darn kicker. I think the kicker may have a bigger impact than people are willing to acknowledge. Now, we've had a lot of questions about the kicking situation and precious little answers. All that we know is that, you know, if it's not Gostkowski, better hang on to your butts for another season.
All right, and the final question, which former athlete would you most want in a broadcast booth? Jay Cutler, God, no. Pat McAfee and Marshawn Lynch. And Pat McAfee is leading at 51%.
Marshawn and Cutler, give me a booth. In fact, get rid of all these polished broadcasters. I have no use for any of them. Just give me the three of them together calling a Monday Night Football game. That would put on a hell of a better show than anything else. I don't know if it would put on a better show than us. We did a good job today despite the circumstances. Back in studio to make it all sound smooth tomorrow, Coach Mack, Ryan McGee of the SEC Network. But until then, Blaine and Mickey in 3HL will keep you company.